This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Now on Food FM, you're listening to Bread and Butter with Caroline Kenyon. Caroline and her guests make sense of the world through food, from politics to farming, making, and cooking.
Online, on smart speakers, and on Listen Again. This is Food FM.
Hello, I am so delighted to welcome you to the latest edition of Bread and Butter. Today we're talking about mustard. I don't know how many of you have seen in the press, but there is actually a global shortage of Dijon mustard for all sorts of rather complex and serious reasons. But we thought we'd take this as an opportunity to talk about mustard more widely. So I am really excited to welcome to the show Guy Tullberg of Trackelmunds and Rachel Green, chef extraordinaire and known to this programme before. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Thank you. Hello. Good morning.
So Guy, as a manufacturer of, well, all sorts of delicious accompaniments to our food, I'm guessing that the mustard is rather sort of central to who you are and what Trackelmunds is. Is that right?
Yeah, my goodness. I mean, it's where the whole business started. We've been making whole grey mustard for over 50 years. And my father started because he was in the sausage business, and everything went from there. But we're now probably, you know, one of the biggest artisan manufacturers in the UK. And my goodness, have we also been affected by the mustard shortage? It's been a global phenomenon.
That's really interesting, Guy. So where do you see the kind of the pressures on the supply chain coming? What's going on behind this news story?
As I understand it, there was not a very successful crop came out of North America, which is one of the main places where they grow mustard. But Trackelmunds has always had, as part of its DNA, working with farmers and growers. And we've had, for the last 20 years, we've grown to contract in the UK up in East Anglia. And so about 70% of our crop comes from the UK and has done for many years. So because we're happy to work with farmers and growers and pay them a good price, we're very lucky to have had access to raw material, even though the global market affects the price of mustard seed.
That is fascinating. So, I mean, I think, you know, when people hear the words Dijon mustard, they kind of assume that it's a French product. But am I right in saying that mustard seed is not grown in France?
There is a small amount. And in fact, I do know of a mustard maker in Dijon that does use a certain amount of Burgundy-grown seed. But because North America dominates, and one of the big manufacturers of Dijon opened up a factory in North America 10 years and managed to change the PDO, so Dijon no longer needs to be made in Dijon, but where, and there is Dijon mustard made in North America, but North America started to dominate. What I think about when I think about mustard, I was brought up with whole grain mustard from the age of dot, you know, of about 6 or 7 years old. And so I'd never really come across different mustard. To me, whole grain mustard was the original. I think because Dijon has now become, what would you think? It is a worldwide phenomenon. And what I think is disappointing is in that journey, we've sort of left behind what I think is traditional British, English, European whole grain mustard. So we think it's the Romans who brought mustard to the UK. As we always say, blame the Romans for everything. But and it would have been ground in a pestle and mortar, and it would look very similar to what we see as a whole grain mustard. It would have been really difficult to make a powdered, smooth version. So we think whole grain has the history of mustard that possibly goes back further than Dijon, but it's got lost in that story.
Yes, you know, you're really taking me back to my childhood, actually. But I think your family, my family was pretty foodie, or rather my father was, but I only remember English mustard and the powder coming out and the ceremony of my father mixing it with water and then it being spooned carefully into a little blue glass liner inside a silver holder for Sunday lunch. I remember once we were given a big jar of French whole grain mustard, and that was, you know, my brother and I were kind of goggle-eyed with excitement at this very sophisticated food product. Rachel, from your perspective, you know, both as a chef and coming from a farming background, tell us a little bit about your sort of culinary heritage and mustard.
Well, mustard's always been a very big part of what's been on the table at home. I am a massive English mustard fan. I think that possibly comes back from my father, and also back to sausages like you, really, Guy, because we always had pigs at home, and we always made, obviously in Lincolnshire, a lot of byproducts from our pigs. So my mother would lay them out, the component parts of the pig on the table. We would have, you know, the brains fried with fried eggs for breakfast, and there would always be English mustard there. We'd obviously make Lincolnshire sausages. My father's favourite thing was to hang the sausages in the cellar till they had fur on them, to wipe off the green fur and eat them with great gusto, put into the arga and cooked and then eaten with great vats of English mustard and some homemade bread from my mother. So for me, it's always been like, I have a serious amount of mustards in my culinary cupboard at any one time. I gauge a nation's respect for mustard by whether I'm offered it when I go abroad, and whether I have to ask for it. So I think we have a great mustard respect in this country. I really do.
Have you ever made it, Rachel?
I have made mustard. Yes, I have made mustard before, and I believe, isn't it? It's the seeds, isn't it? Obviously, they range in heat, but it's also the type of liquid that you add to them that actually helps define the heat. Mustard is a fantastic cooking ingredient. It isn't just a condiment. And I think that's a really important, it's a rare condiment, isn't it, that holds up and withstands cooking. I think it's, we use it an awful lot in an awful lot of things.
What do you use it in, mustard. Rachel? Because I know that Henry, my son, as you know, is vegan. And for him, I would say it's an absolutely key tool in his armory of ingredients. But how do you use it?
Well, you know, great way for Henry is that he can't have eggs. So basically, it's really great if you want to do egg and crumbing. I mean, I do it with pheasant, Dijon mustard. I make a sort of... I slightly thin it down, and I would dip the pheasant goujon into the mustard and then crumb it, use it like that. So you use it instead of egg for crumbing. It's absolutely
That's so
fantastic.
Clever.
Yeah, well, it's a really, really interesting way of doing it. And also not just food, but drink as well. I believe, I know my son Ollie, he loves whiskey, and he had a whiskey and mustard, it had mustard in it, cocktail, not very long ago. So, you know, it's great in a dash of Dijon, or is great in a Bloody Mary, that sort of thing. Well, I actually use your horseradish mustard in a Bloody Mary. I love Bloody Mary, so, and it works fantastically in there. So, you know, just lovely sort of things like at this time of year. We obviously people do a lot of barbecuing, but to make a really great kebab and mix some Greek yogurt, your hot English mustard with mayonnaise and honey. Mustard and honey, another great combination. It's just a really lovely side dish to put with your barbecue, that sort of thing. So emulsions, I mean, I always use mustard. I mean, I use a selection of mustards in my house dressing. So I will use English, and I will use Dijon and a bit of whole grain to get a real balance of sort of flavours. Yes, and whole grain adds texture as well. So there's lots and lots of different ways to use it for me.
Do you think there's a sort of a generational approach to mustard? Because Rachel, both you and I have referenced our fathers and the kind of the ceremony of making the mustard and the solemnity around it all.
Yes.
Guy, what do you think? Do you think young people are enjoying mustard?
Yes. Well, I was mustard is something that has a flavour
I used to spread on toastal bread just as instead of Marmite, because it's a thing I like.
I'm not too sure that necessarily this is generational. I think I always feel that the next generation are really happy to experiment and discover and enjoy. So I think there's that side of it.
My mother died at the end of last year, and her house is still sort of, you know, running, and my brother's living there. So I was there last week, and I absolutely adore Dijon mustard, and I was thinking, gosh, my supplies at home are pretty low. And I opened the fridge door and there were 3 jars of Dijon mustard. And I did think, oh, you know, mummy dearest, what a lovely bequest you have left me. So I truffled them out of the fridge and into my luggage. I wonder, I'm interested to also to hear, Rachel, that you say that Ollie, your son, is having mustard in his cocktails. I mean, Guy, are you looking at sort of making new kinds of mustard to engage with a new audience? So do you have a line of people doing R&D on new mustard types?
Well, we're always looking at it. So we do anything from the sort of a hotter version. So we sell one that we call Spitfire Chili. We do our own version of a hot English, which I think is stands up really, really well, and also sits in that sauce and crumbing sort of works very well for that. And then we do a mixture of honey. Again, we were talking about honey and mustard. We do a hot spiced honey mustard, and those things allow people, I think, lots of access points. And because we sell in a smaller jar, you'd probably put 2 out on a table and not just one. But within that, we're also great fans. I'm a great fan of Dijon mustard, and we do a Dijon mustard which genuinely comes from Burgundy. So we've worked with the same manufacturer there for 30-40 years, and we do have a small supply of Dijon, but that's only because we've got a very good relationship with the manufacturer. But I think this it comes into this journey of experimentation. Everybody's happy to really try things. But we've also had, recently we worked with Cardiff Met University, because we've always had this view that, and I know perhaps I'm overplaying it, but whole grain mustard fits into this clean eating. It's really good for you. We haven't done anything bad to it. It's not over-processed. It actually contains a lot of good bugs. Mustard is very lively. It bugs in a good way, by the way. We did some research with Cardiff Met, so this is proper authenticated research, that said a spoonful of mustard a day, and in particularly whole grain mustard, can actually lower your blood sugars. It's very, very good for glucose and hearts and those sorts of things, actually lowering your cholesterol. And I think, what a lovely opportunity. I put a teaspoon in my cooking every day, and look, I'm actually doing something good for myself, alongside obviously my fresh smoothie that I have in the morning.
You know, it's really lovely to hear that, Guy, because my guilty secret is that when I make my my vinaigrettes, and I love making them, is that when I've put the mustard in, the spoon is always for me. I mean, I can eat three spoonfuls of mustard. I adore it. So now I know I'm doing something good for myself.
Yeah, do you know what my guilty pleasure is?
What?
Brussels sprouts and whole grain mustard and cheese.
Oh, what sort of cheese?
I love a kind of like a grain mustard Lincolnshire poacher Brussels sprout gratin. Absolutely gorgeous.
That does sound delicious.
I can actually eat a plate of Brussels sprouts just tossed in whole grain mustard with cheese on top and a little tiny bit of mayonnaise on the side. How guilty is that?
That sounds wonderful. Do you know, I can't wait for Christmas now. I adore sprouts. Just to kind of bring ourselves back, you know, early in the morning, and I'm already fantasizing about sprouts and whole grain mustard. Although where I get Brussels sprouts in July, I'm not quite sure. But where do you think the way lies forward for mustard? I mean, we've got these issues. We've, you know, currently got a supply shortage from Northern America, guys, you've highlighted. And what I understand that is to do with, sorry to mention it, it's so gloomy and depressing, but it's to do with climate change and so on. But there's also, I think there's a Ukraine element. Is there some mustard grown in Ukraine?
Yes, Ukraine, Russia, India. I mean, they're every global commodity, seed commodity, is affected obviously by Ukraine. But also, I think we did have this not very good harvest. But we would argue that, or Trachmans would argue, that the more that we can shorter the supply chain. And by that, you know, I understand that there are some things we couldn't, black peppercorns, you know, they come from a certain area. I understand that. But we can grow mustard in this country, in the UK. So
let's have my area.
Yeah, let's have a bit more. Yeah, let's have a bit more, please. And I think those things really will start to help. And one of the reasons, as you mentioned, it's grown on the east because it's slightly drier. It quite likes yes. those dry growing conditions. We have tried to grow some for 5 or 6 years in a row, just down the road from us. We're on the Wiltshire-Gloucestershire border, but it's just a bit too wet. And I used to go out and see fields and fields of rape, and I go, what is all that about? You know, if you can grow that, you can grow mustard seed. Come on, give it a go.
And mustard also is a great good cover crop for farmers as well. And I think they just sort of got out of the way of growing it. But I remember my father growing it. I mean, I remember us growing it on the farm in Lincolnshire. So it's very good for cleaning the soil. So,
I mean, we're about to get the next year's harvest, I think, which will come September, and that'll be a big change. So we'll see where that is. So when that new harvest comes, we'll see. I mean, so far, so good, and we're hopeful.
I think what you've both said is fascinating, because what we're really unravelling here is that mustard is a bit of a kind of lightning rod for all sorts of issues, like climate change, like ridiculously long supply chains, like, as Rachel referenced, the health of our soil. And if we could, as you have said, Guy, bring everything closer to home, there's so much good that we could do here, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, it's mentioned at the beginning. I mean, it's part of what we do. Traquenance loves working with farmers and growers. We're 100% UK onions, again, all coming from up near Lincolnshire. 100% UK grown horseradish. That has not come overnight for us as a business. That's come from 30 years of hard work, or 40 years of hard work. What we do is we trust the grower to get on with their job, and the grower trusts us to pay them a fair price for what they do. So in our internal circles, we call it British Fair Trade. It's what Traquenance as a business refers to it. Our growers, well, their price isn't bouncing up and down, but they know that they're going to be able to sell, in the case of, you know, we're using something like 200 tonnes of onions at the moment, 50 tonnes of horseradish. They know that they're going to get a fair price for that, and that helps them plan for the future. And I think this working together is going to be a really, really important part of what we do. I mean, we want to use the best and buy the best, but because we understand the raw material, and because we know the growers, it makes such a difference. And I don't want to over-egg this too much. Good chefs say they're only as good as their good ingredients. Traquenance say exactly the same. That's what makes us who we are and what we are, but it is really part of our DNA.
You're also giving them consistency, and as a farmer, that's incredibly important for their cash flow, because obviously farmers' cash flow is very up and down. And as a family of farmers for 400 years, yeah, I think it's an absolutely amazing practice that you're doing, and encouraging the farmers of this country, and as you say, giving them a fair price. And I think that's the whole point, isn't it? I think it's wonderful. I really do think it's amazing. As I say, as a young girl, I remember seeing fields and fields of mustard, and then that dropped off. And it's so encouraging to hear what you're saying. I remember my father saying it's very competitive against weeds as well, mustard. It'll hold its own. So you have to use less spray on it or anything like
absolutely.
That, don't you?
That's absolutely right. Because you imagine that you're a bug or an aphid, and you land or the mustard seed, it's not something that's very nice. So it has a lot of... It has a really good sort of natural defense, but also that I understand that it doesn't need a lot of spraying. The yields aren't as high as growing something like wheat or barley.
Yes.
But it doesn't require a lot of that much love and attention. I'm sure a lot of farmers will be yes. tearing their hair out saying yes, it does. But I mean, I know that the North American crop, by and large, they plant it and don't really do very much to it. And if they lose the bottom corner of the field, they lose it. From a farming perspective, it doesn't take quite so much love and attention. So I know that a lot of the North American growers plant it and don't really do that much to it. It's a very hardy crop.
And it's also very good terms of environment for game cover as well, and green short-term green cover as well. So it has a lot going for it. It really does.
I think I can feel a campaign coming on, and it's the real mustard.
We've just
launched it here and now. Guys, wonderful to hear your account of mustard, but also all the fantastic work that Chacklements is doing with British farming. It's just so uplifting. There's so much gloom and doom around in British farming. I think farmers are feeling so apprehensive about the future and where things are going. And, you know, it's a very vulnerable world at the moment. So what you're doing gives them certainty in a time of uncertainty.
In a small way, we hope so, yes. In a small way.
Absolutely. And Rachel, you know, just to hear how you use mustard, how you support British food producers, it's so uplifting. It really is. Thank you both. I've absolutely loved the conversation. I've learned a huge amount. And now whenever I see any of my farming friends, I'm going to be banging on about mustard.
Caroline, as always, your enthusiasm is very much part of you. And it's wonderful to hear you, as always, being enthusiastic about a great, great national treasure, really. I think mustard is a great treasure and will always be on my table.
Yeah, absolutely. Here, here. Thank you very much, both.
Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you.
You're listening to Bread and Butter with Caroline Kenyon.
To find out more about Food FM and our content, go to foodfmradio.com.